Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Adam Ragusea. Well, with clear skies and calmer seas prevailing, the birds and the boats were back out on the water today, the day after Tropical Storm Irene barreled through New England.
The storm left damage and shaken nerves up and down the eastern seaboard. Conrad Roy Jr. of Tucker Roy Marine Towing and Salvage was pulling in boats that had come unmoored in New Bedford Harbor.
During the storm, we were actually in that little red skiff over there. Yeah, it was a little hairy. Yeah, I think we got a total of 8 boats that were going to be completely totaled, most likely, if we didn't save them. We have one here that went underneath the bridge, and we picked it up on the other side when it came out after the masts fell down. Don't have power at my house, but I have power on the tugboat. So.
And he wasn't alone. Power outages continue today, with some 500,000 Massachusetts residents still without electricity.
And for some folks, that could continue to be the case for a while. Here is National Grid spokeswoman Amy Zorich.
Currently in Massachusetts, we have upwards of 335,500 customers still out. We are going to be bringing people back as quickly as we can throughout this week, but it is possible that some customers could experience an outage into this weekend.
Well, for more now on the latest on how the state is recovering from what turned into Tropical Storm Irene is Lieutenant Governor Tim Murray. Mr. Murray, welcome to Radio Boston.
Good afternoon.
It's a pleasure to have you. Please let us know, first and foremost, I understand you've been out and about in the state today, maybe with Governor Patrick. Where have you been in Massachusetts, and what have you seen in terms of damage and recovery across the Commonwealth?
Well, I've been in Worcester, Framingham, and Marlborough. Governor was in Western Mass and had a chance to, on the ground and through aerial view, see some of the impacted areas. And certainly Western Mass is dealing with significant flooding in many of the rivers that threatens to wash out certain roads. Many homes have been impacted along some of the rivers in Western Mass. So and tree clearing and continues, and unfortunately we did have one fatality in Southbridge.
Mm. And what did you see in particular in central Massachusetts today?
Tree damage, primarily some people without power, but that has been restored in central Mass. However, in Marlborough, a significant portion of the city without power, and that same type of thing being reported in, Brockton and Attleboro. So we are working as diligently as we can with Mass State Police, with the National Guard, all of the MEMA and emergency response teams to try to help support some of the efforts that are underway to bring back power, to public safety complexes, hospitals, senior centers, and to business and residential customers.
Mm. And, you did mention the fatality that has been confirmed in Massachusetts, and I believe that is a 52-year-old Richard Gorgone. He was electrocuted, if I understand correctly, when he touched a railing on his porch that had come into contact with a downed power line. I mean, that brings to mind that even though the storm may have passed and there are spectacular blue skies out there today, what are the major threats or dangers that you and Governor Patrick have identified that continue to be of concern here?
Well, you just stated one of them. Clearly, there's down power lines. You have to assume that people need to assume that they are alive and to stay away from them until such time as, trained, professionals, public safety and/or, power line professionals, power company professionals are there. Again, also trying to make sure that people stay away from any waterways that are overflowing or running. The soil is loose, footing, people can lose their footing. We see foundations and other types of things being impacted. So it's staying away from any areas that present risk levels. And that also has to do with the tree limbs and branches and things that have fallen. People need to be extraordinarily careful because we've seen situations in some of the other states where trees have also resulted in fatalities. So it's important that people just use common sense and be safe because there are downed power lines.
Lieutenant Governor Murray, you mentioned that Western Massachusetts did receive absolutely the brunt of the rainfall, and there continue to be flooding concerns there. Is there any particular aid or the efforts in that are specifically happening in Western Massachusetts that you can describe to us that the state is able to do to help that part of the Commonwealth?
Quite a bit is currently underway. Emergency Command Center has been unified Emergency Command Center has been opened in Greenfield, Massachusetts, in Franklin County, and Massachusetts National Guard moving engineer heavy equipment out that way. Our Mass Department of Transportation is also working with their teams as well as contractors in securing heavy equipment to try to direct appropriately water flows. Our Executive Office of Energy and Environmental Affairs working with power companies that and others that might have some oversight on dams and things like that. So really kind of a multi-pronged approach, public, private, to try to address some of these concerns. Similarly, we are working with the state of Vermont, which is having challenges as well with the overflows and water, with water and rivers, tributaries overflowing. So
we're going to be hearing in a moment from Vermont in particular, because they absolutely seem to have been walloped by this storm. But Lieutenant Governor Murray, I mean, I wonder if I just might ask you a final question in that it seems as if maybe the state did make the right call by not forcing any evacuations in any regions, unlike what we saw in other parts of the Eastern Seaboard, particularly New York City. Does it seem to you as if the response this time around was the appropriate one, or I mean, maybe even the fact that the alarm was raised to this degree was too much? I mean, how do you measure the balance, and how the balance was struck in terms of the state's preparedness to what turned into Tropical Storm Irene?
Yeah, well, you're always going to have a certain segment that'll Monday morning quarterback, but I do think there's never anything wrong for of public safety officials, elected officials, appointed officials who are responsible for responses and this type of thing to err on the side of caution. And public safety needs to be the paramount concern. Certainly, as we've seen many times, Mother Nature storms that people dismiss can turn into something very significant in a very short period of time, and vice versa. This is a storm that, but for a shift of 50 or 100 miles, could have very easily been a Category 2, Category 3 storm. But thankfully, for New England's sake, or parts of it anyway, that it dissipated somewhat, but still significant damage. And, it's going to take some time to get the crisis situation behind us as it relates to the flooding in particular.
Lieutenant Governor Murray, do you have any estimates on the damage that Irene wrought on the Commonwealth, and are there any plans of asking for specific financial assistance from the federal government?
Well, the good news is that President Obama had done a pre-storm emergency declaration, so hopefully that 75% federal reimbursement will be something that follows. It's too early for us to really get the cost, or quite frankly, that takes months and months to ultimately get the full cost, and we encourage cities and towns, and certainly we do in our own efforts to really try to document any and all costs that are associated in terms of preparation and response that are expended, as well as comprehensive full assessments of damage. Just for example, understanding what impacts have been had on bridges. It's going to take time to go down, and sending divers to check out footings of bridges and in areas that have been impacted. Mm-hmm. So it's going to take some time.
Lieutenant Governor Tim Murray, thank you so very much.
Okay.
All right, let's turn now to Vermont, where flooding has been significantly more severe than here in Massachusetts. In fact, the Green Mountain State hasn't seen flooding like this in decades. Ross Sneed is the news editor at Vermont Public Radio, where he joins us now. Ross, what are you and your reporters seeing up there?
Well, we're seeing a lot of just incredible damage throughout this state. We have something in the neighborhood of 260 roads across the state that have suffered some kind of damage, either bridges being washed out or whole sections of highways being washed away. There are a lot of towns where there are people, frankly, stranded. There are washouts on either side of where they are,
oh, man,
and they can't get out.
The weird thing about this, Ross, is that Irene tapered as it moved north, right? So one would think that the impact on Vermont would be less than the impact on central or western Massachusetts. But that's not how it worked out. Why not?
No, not entirely clear. I think part of it, and a major part of it, is the storm path. As you suggest, it was not a strong hurricane. It wasn't a hurricane at all by the time it reached Vermont. It was a tropical storm. And everyone had really been afraid of what these winds combined with the rain would do and would probably cause a lot of power outages. Well, there haven't been as many power outages, somewhere in the vicinity of 60 or 70,000 at the height of outages. But it was combined with all this rain, and it moved a little farther west than had been expected. Apparently, that helped to generate more rain. And as I'm sure you and your listeners are aware, Vermont's a pretty mountainous place. All this water falling onto those hills has to go down. It goes into these small rivers and streams and then really begins to just barrel down those riverbeds.
And no doubt affecting a lot of the valley communities. What are some of the communities that were hit hardest by the storm? And do you have any sense of how they're doing on this kind of beautiful Monday morning?
It is remarkable to look out the window and think about what was happening yesterday. A lot of the worst damage is, frankly, down near Massachusetts. There's Brattleboro, Marlboro, yeah. Wilmington was particularly bad hit. At one point yesterday, Wilmington was an island surrounded by water. The emergency crews at one point thought that they would be able to reach Wilmington by going down into Massachusetts and coming back. But even from that direction, they were blocked.
Oh, that's
so
incredible.
those are some of the towns that have had it the worst. But it really did move through the state. Montpelier had flooding. Rutland had flooding. There's been flooding in St. Johnsbury, which is in the northeastern part of the state. It's really from one end of the state to the other. A lot of people are comparing this to the epic 1927 flood that really devastated Vermont.
What's the focus on emergency response now?
The real focus is to figure out what to do about these roads, because there are a lot of communities that are cut off from emergency services. In the central part of the state, Killington, a lot of people know the Killington Ski Resort. Route 4, U.S. Route 4, that runs down to Rutland and therefore down to emergency services such as the hospital, has washed out for a very large stretch. It's just a big gully right now. And so if there were a big emergency, somebody needed to get to the hospital in a hurry, you'd probably have to run a helicopter in there.
Ross Sneed, news editor at Vermont Public Radio. Ross, you got a long day ahead of you. Thanks for spending some of it with us.
You're welcome.
Well, in a moment, Columbus may have hit land in 1492, but what happened the very next year in 1493? We'll find out. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Adam Ragusea. This is Radio Boston.